Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one and only Wait. Is it just me, or does Thatch kind of look like Tom from MySpace? Anyway, Puckle Podcast!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the phone
never ends.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Oh yeah.
Puckle!
And welcome to the 268th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-hosts,
Mr. Maximus
and Lord Yashiro.
And we're here to bring you the 268th episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. But we're more than a Pokemon podcast, friends. We are also a Pokemon community. So if you're new to the show, welcome. We hope you stick around and you like us all. We really hope you strive for your approval. And and if you're old, welcome back to the show. And I hope you enjoy our discussions. So as always, guys, Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. By we, it's just me, because I was the only one around at that time. so let's not look too
We're
much
into it. We're
just
doing it for the ride.
You guys didn't get to choose the name, unfortunately. And so we're of course going to bring you a Pokemon podcast where we talk everything about Pokemon. So just buckle up, and we're going to take you for a ride. All right, so guys.
Thank you for all that.
So, what have you guys been up to in Pokemon lately? It's been a while since. Now, Maximus, you were just on the show a few weeks ago, but Yashiro hasn't been on the main show in a while.
Oh, yeah, I've been constantly being show blocked.
That's true. That is honestly true.
Because obviously people want that trivia prize, and Yashiro can't have it. But no, it's been a long time. But I've been busy in Puckle. It's not that I haven't been busy in Puckle. I've been recording live shows and obviously the TCG cast, mm-hmm. and even being in the movie club. You guys should all hopefully have heard all of those. And apart from being very Puckle busy, I've also been reorganizing new year, new challenges, new goals. So I'm been reorganizing my cards. I've been playing a little bit more of the Sun and Moon. I've been meaning to start Sun. I haven't been able to do that yet because I want to catch all the Ultra Beasts and Moon first before I do that. But it's been pretty Pokemon centric.
That's good. That's good. I mean, do you have any Pokemon New Year's resolutions per se?
Yes, I truly want to learn how to freaking play competitively in the VGC because, you know, I got to expand my horizon.
The VGC is a little rough right now. I'm not going to lie. VGC 17 is a little rough right now.
It's so I can make all the mistakes everyone else is doing and not feel too bad.
No, this is definitely the year to play. Like, if you're going to get into the VGC, this is the year. I don't know if you listened to the Battlecast that we put out a few weeks ago.
Not yet, I have to do that.
Yeah, this is definitely the year to get into it. Like, absolutely the year to get into it. Because it's definitely got it's got the learning curve to a place where I think it's going to be the easiest to enter the VGC.
Yeah.
Not to mention OU. Like, this, I think the same goes for OU right now.
But when it, wouldn't it be, I'm scared that once the bank is available, that things suddenly will become overwhelming again. So I'm kind of worried about that. But
I wouldn't be because the meta is going to be pretty stable by then, honestly, because, well, at least in, not in VGC, but in OU. OU, it's definitely going to be stable once bank drops because they're already playing it on Showdown. PokeBank OU is the dominant tier that people are playing on Showdown right now. And so that meta is actually being stabilized right now. And there's actually there's a tier list that's forming. It's pretty much everything that it pretty much OU is forming. I wouldn't say UU or NU are formed yet, but OU is forming, and they're pretty much like, okay, this Pokemon's not good. It doesn't need to be in OU. It can be in UU. Like, that's where they're at right now.
But other than that, instead of goals, it's not necessarily a Pokemon-centric one, but it is a Nintendo one, and it's many of you know that I'm heading over to Japan on March, which happens to be the same month that the Switch might be is going to be released, and I am hoping they announce a date, and it lies on the same time that I am in Japan, so I can go to its release over at Nintendo Japan. So I'm excited.
They are going to announce it next week or this week. This week at this point.
So I hope it's somewhere between the 12th and the 20th.
I think the rumor right now is the 18th.
Oh, that would be perfect.
It's like the 18th and the 19th. I think that's the rumor right now.
I'll be buying myself a Japanese Switch since they're not region locked.
That's true. They aren't region locked. That's true. Yeah. Well, as far as we know right now, you don't know that's not region locked.
No, they are. They already said.
Did they announce it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's not going to be region locked. The 3DS is no longer region locked anymore.
Is it? I don't believe you.
I don't think so.
I don't believe you.
I'm pretty sure it's not. If it is, then I'm mistaken. But there's one console for Nintendo that has already been released that is already not region locked. I just can't remember which one now.
I don't think it's the 3DS. Unless there's like a massive update. But that's fine. What about you, Maximus? Yeah. What have you been up to Pokemon-wise?
Well, Pokemon-wise, I've been catching new Pokemon and trying to catch the Ultra Beast. Just trying to get them to the right nature and at least 4 EV or 4 max IVs so I can just bottle cap them later on, make that a little bit easier. But other than that, Puckle-wise, speaking with some of the other Pokemonians as far as events coming up, like someone actually emailed me. I said, like, I still want
really?
To get my email. Yeah. I said, oh, that's right. I put it on the site.
Yeah.
Should I leave that on there or should I leave it off, or I don't know. But they were asking me, like, as far as like, well, there's stuff like, do we have in store? I told them, well, as far as like stuff coming up, I just told them, just look at the calendar. I told them about the different podcasts we're coming up with, and they just want to see cool. They literally just said cool. Cool. Can't wait. With a smiley face. And they had the thumbs up icon.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The way, quick jump in. It's the Nintendo DS. It was the one that wasn't region locked.
Yeah, I think everything like prior to like the Wii U was, or the Wii U and 3DS were like not region locked.
Yeah.
They just like started region locking out of nowhere. It was really weird.
I hope they stop. Well, they already said... If it's still a rumor, I don't know, but it's pretty heavily said that the Switch will not be region locked.
I'm not surprised at this point because anything about the Switch is like super leaky right now.
Yes, it is.
It's super leaky.
They also, and sorry to jump in your time, Maximus, they also announced, or the rumor is heavy, that it's going to have a Type-C charger and it's going to charge from 0 to 100% in 30 minutes.
Possible. But we can talk. This is not for that shit. This is not for this show. So, anything else you want to add, Maximus?
No, just Pokemon wise. As far as I guess since you asked him what his New Year's Pokemon resolution.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any,
trying to keep myself sane while trying to play OU, because there's like a lot of weird battles I've been in. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that video of Showdown I sent out, but I was going against a trainer with 3 legendaries, one being Primal Groudon. I had an unknown, I believe unknown.
Wait, was this random battle?
Yeah, random battle.
Okay, I'm just gonna say, I'm like, why did you bring it unknown?
No, this is straight random battle. It was just straight weird. It's funny. I had Gliscor, and it wasn't the right Gliscor set, and I was kind of disappointed. I never get Gliscor on random, and it went down one turn.
Oh man!
So disappointed. Oh, but I ended up winning it by a slither of health against a Suicune.
I was I myself have been building teams for the patrons because I gave them until I guess the day this launches to like pick the Pokemon this month that they want us to build a team around and then give them a team list and then distribute that Pokemon. And I know I gave them on Monday, but looking at the results of the poll, it's pretty obvious who's winning. I'll announce it on Monday along with the team list probably because Shamu and I went back and forth on a team list and I think we found one that works out pretty well. I was playing around with it and I intending to fix it some more and I found out that I laddered to like 1500 with it and I didn't even know. So that was nice. I was just playing around, playing match after match, just being like, okay, I need to see if I can fix this, da 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 da. And then I was just like, oh, I'm in 1500. Maybe this team's fine. and so the team's pretty decent. I'm pretty excited for it. I've been playing around with that. I'll build a real in-game version of that and use it on the stream this week. I didn't have time to do it last week. I was really upset because a lot of things happened last week and I wasn't able to get to streaming. So this week I will because I'll be gone actually the week after this because I get to go to Santa Fe for work. So I won't be able to stream that week, unfortunately. Maybe on the Friday. We don't know. We're on the 20th maybe. Or is that the 20th? I think so. So... Mm-hmm. That is, that's where I'm at right now. I've been doing that. I've been working on a lot of Puckle stuff because I've been trying to get some stuff in line to move on. I need to, I was telling these guys before the show, this is the week that I have to actually start thinking about PuckleCon because we still, TPCI has just been awful in announcing their events this year. Like, absolutely
tell me
awful.
About
it. Absolutely awful. Like,
yes.
It's just, they've been so garbage. I don't think I can find an event farther than 3 weeks ahead of me right now. Mm. And we know of the next international, but it's in March, and that's all we know. And so we don't know anything about nationals. So PuckleCon may very well not take place at nationals this year.
Yeah. There is no nationals. But,
at the international this year.
Yeah.
So it could just be a thing where we kind of all get together and hang out and have a good time, do some Puckle stuff, and just get some. I mean, it's going to be like a super awesome like content creation weekend and stuff. Pretty much like a 3-day party. That's how I'm imagining it.
And for those that say that, well, you know, going to a Pokemon event is your excuse to go to a PuckleCon, please note that Maximus and I can say by experience that once we met for Nationals and PuckleCon, by the second day, we didn't even want to go to Nationals. We just wanted to hang out and just do Puckle stuff. So it is a lot of fun. It is, yeah, it is a lot of fun. It is just, imagine just being in a room with 20 of your best friends you didn't know you have. It is just one hell of a time. So for any one of you who might be considering, go. Even though there's not may not be a Pokemon event, mm-hmm. still go because you're gonna have the time of your life. It's really good.
Absolutely. Like I cannot say it better. I mean, it's more than the Pokemon. We did it the past 2 years at a Pokemon event, which I think was a good excuse to get us going the first time. But now that we've got like a core group of people, I think even if you've never talked to us before, I mean, look at Woody. He was like a huge thing. We never talked to him before we hung out. And so if you just want to like come and hang out and talk some Pokemon, like this is definitely the place for you to go. I mean, we're going to get more details worked out probably by the end of the month. And we'll have something solidified by January 31st. I will have something solidified so people can like plan their travel arrangements and stuff. Other than that, though, that's what's going on. We have to kick it on over to the news, though, and talk about what's been going on in Pokemon. So let's cue the epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. So in the news this week, we have a few different things. I think this is actually like probably the most casual news segment I've ever had on this show. Like it's just full of things that are like super casual.
Well, we have a casual relationship, Batch.
So the first thing, I think probably the biggest thing, is that if you own a Wii U and you're like, man, I wanted to play Pokemon Snap on this, but you've lived in America and it was the only region that didn't have Pokemon Snap on the virtual console, well, you're in luck. After like a year of it being on every other virtual console, like the European and the Japanese virtual console, you can now download Pokemon Snap in North America.
Yeah. So,
two months before the Switch comes out.
Yeah, 2 months before the Switch comes out. Exactly.
it better be on the Switch when you first get it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, I don't think it. I think the Switch is going to be very disappointing in the virtual console lineup. I definitely think that. So that's cool. I mean, you can go get it now. Like, it's a game that's been out. Like, Fluffiest is like, I've had this for like a year. And we're sitting over here like, oh, I just got it on Wednesday. So, or not Wednesday, on Thursday, because that's when they update the eShop. But now you can go play it on your Wii U. So have fun, everybody.
Yep, on your dead console.
You know you can't buy those anymore? You can't buy a Wii U now.
You can't buy it, just leftovers. Once they're out, they're out!
Yeah, no, like, I've gone to so many stores where they're just gone.
Yep.
They're just gone. Like, you can't buy the console anymore.
They stopped making them in when was it? October, was it?
Yeah, they stopped making them, and they did I heard they did a recall, actually.
Yeah. Recall. And Nintendo still refuses to say that the Switch is a replacement for the Wii U. It's just...
It is. It absolutely is.
Oh, it is ridiculous. Just say it. Say it.
I think they're just in denial about... Because it's gonna kill the 3DS as well, but whatever. We'll see. The 3DS has a better battery life. We'll give it that. Moving on to more Pokemon-related news. So another competition has popped up for Pokemon Sun and Moon. And this might be something you might want to try out, Yushiro.
For sure.
The Alola Friendly is going to be happening this month. The competition itself is going to run from January 27th to the 29th. And registration opens up on January 19th, so like 2 weeks from now. So what this is you can only use Pokemon from the Alola decks, minus, of course, Cosmog, Cosmoem, Solgaleo, Lunala, Magearna, Necrozma, and Zygarde. You can't use those guys. But you can use everybody else.
That sounds awesome.
It's all single battle, but it's bring six, choose three, so it's standard battle spot, pretty much. No Megastones. Go ahead, Yushiro.
Oh, so no, this would happen when? By the end of January?
Yeah, it's going to... So the competition itself runs from the 27th to the 29th, and you get 15 battles a day. It's pretty much a standard, and if you do it, the prize is 50 battle points. Fantastic, because battle points are hard to come by nowadays.
Oh, they are?
It's kind of rough to get them, because the battle tree doesn't like have the best output. Mm. Neither does the battle royale. So it is something that people are complaining about. You have to farm a lot of battle points, especially if you want to get all of the Megastones, because they're all 64 battle points apiece.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even if you participate, you can still not buy one of those.
No, but if you just go do like 12 battles in the battle tree, you'll get enough to, or 14 battles in the battle tree, you'll get enough.
Okay.
And I was thinking the number was divisible by 12, and that came out of my mouth for some reason. Whatever. Just smack things. Whatever.
We all have Snack here to help us back up.
Yeah. and so that's really cool. I'm actually going to probably try to jump into this, because I have plenty of singles teams right now, and I can probably just make one so that I can jump into the Alola Friendly. And it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It really does. I'm definitely going to participate. So stay tuned, guys. Jishiro, the VGC retard, is going to be able to do this. I know.
It's not even about VGC. This is single battles. So
no, that's the thing I have to change. When I say VGC, it's
just video game in general.
Yeah.
Okay. this is single. This is Battle Spot singles, which I think is a lot of fun. I think Battle Spot's a lot of fun. It's a fast paced meta. And it was at least last gen. I haven't played any Battle Spot singles in Gen 7 yet. I think probably one of the more important things for those of you out there, if you're just playing Pokemon Sun and Moon and you have not downloaded the Munchlax with the Snorlax Z yet, you have until Wednesday to grab that. That is going to be going offline starting Wednesday, so go ahead and go grab it. There's no other way to get Snorlax Z other than through this event. I'm sure, though, like in a year, we're going to get another Pokemon game, and it's going to be like, oh, Snorlax Z, you just get it for, like, existing. Kind of like Blaziken. But I would definitely go ahead and grab that while you can, so you can get Snorlax MZ just for the animation of Giga Impact. I mean, or not Giga Impact, Pulverizing Pancake.
Yeah,
that's the only reason. For those of you who, I know a lot of people actually get confused when they download it and they're like, I can't use Pulverizing Pancake. Well, you have to make sure that Snorlax has Giga Impact before you do that.
Yeah.
So just remember that. All right. So that is actually it in Pokemon news. It was a very unexciting week in Pokemon news. One other thing I did forget is that the Pokemon Sun and Moon manga did start. So there is that. Everybody remember that.
Which is super exciting because the manga is super awesome.
The manga is super awesome. We did an episode on it like 2 years ago, I think, and we only got through like Red, Blue, and Green. And I'm like, next one we'll do Yellow. And then we never got back to it.
Oh, we got to do that. Invite me over for that one.
We definitely need to wrap up some manga because the manga is like my jam.
I read Yellow and I love it. It's my favorite one. Granted, I stopped at Diamond and Pearl, but Yellow remained to me my favorite saga.
I think up until Emerald, like the story is really good. After Emerald, though, it's not as good. So, but it's fantastic. I would suggest if anybody wants to read the manga, read the manga. Well, I do want to do an episode on that, though, in the near future. Maybe next month or something like that, or in the coming weeks. We'll discuss.
Stay tuned.
Okay, and so in Puckle news, of course, I would like to remind everybody that Puckle TCG mats are still up on the Etsy store, though they might not be there for long. We only have a few of them left. So if you'd like a Puckle TCG mat, go ahead and go to the Etsy store, grab a TCG mat. While you can.
They are amazing. They look... photos don't do it justice. It's really, really cool. It's really pretty. I got mine a few days ago, and I love it. I can't wait to try it out. And definitely, guys, it's worth any penny. Plus, we have it at a great price. Nowadays, you can't find good quality mats for less than $25. $20 to $25. And this one is less than that, and it's really, really good.
I think if you live in the United States, the mat itself comes out to be $15.99 with shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So do definitely check that out. So I just wanted to throw it out there that they're there. And once they're gone, they're gone. We're not doing another run right now in any foreseeable future or anything. So definitely go and do it if you want a TCG mat and you want to like play some Pokemon TCG on a Puckle logo. They're actually really nice. I got them on my desk right now. I use them as desk mats. All right, so that is it for Pokemon news, or our news segment. So we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz our co-host on their Pokemon knowledge. And on to Puckle's Poke Quiz, this is the segment of the show where we quiz your co-hosts on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Of course, as always, lower your browsers, gentlemen, because you are no longer allowed to use the internet. You have to use what's in your brain to answer these questions. So we have five of these questions. There are 6 points up for grabs with these five questions, because one of them will have two answers. Now, if you can get all of the answers correct without using the hint, you can get an extra point. So there's a total of 7 points up for grabs right now, depending on whether or not you want to use a hint. Of course, as always, you get 1 minute to answer each question. And that's pretty much what there is. Those are the rules. Now, I do want to make it clear, because I've been asked this multiple times since Sun and Moon were released. Yes, Sun and Moon is applicable to a lot of these questions. And also, not to mention that... Pokemon, things like Pokemon Colosseum and Pokemon Gale of Darkness, when it comes to Pokemon mechanics, I will not say location data, but mechanics, they do count. If that makes sense.
Okay.
In our questions. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump right on into the questions then. So, are you guys ready?
Ready as I will ever be.
Okay. So, I think all of these are pretty, like, relatively easy questions, but then again, I thought the Lure Ball question was an easy one. And I'm still getting flack for that, so. Okay, here we go. Question number one. What Pokemon has the lowest base stat total of all Pokemon?
Hmm.
It's either Wishiwashi or Sunkern.
I think it's definitely Wishiwashi.
Yeah, because I think the new people were making a memes about that.
Yeah, about how weak it is. It's weaker than a Magikarp.
Mm-hmm. Want to go wishy-washy? Well, wishy-washy with the non-schooling form.
Of course, yeah. Pre-changing to its school form.
Is that your final answer?
Well, it take 20 seconds to to check it for a ride. I mean, what other options do we have? Magikarp is the other one.
No, but Sunkern's worse than Magikarp, though.
Yeah. Oh, Sunkern, yeah, that's true.
That's what I said. Wishy-washy beat Sunkern. That's the worst, like, stat-wise.
Yeah, but then it definitely is wishy-washy. Yep, that's our final answer.
That is your final answer. That is correct. Wishy-washy is the new worst Pokemon, the non-schooling form, of course. It has a base stat total of 175. The Pokemon prior to that was Sunkern with a base stat total of 180. So you guys are correct. Wishy-washy is terrible. Unschooled, of course.
Yeah.
His base stat total when he's schooled is 620, so it's much, much, much higher.
I'm just curious. What if you can you change its ability, like with skill squat sock or something like that in the middle of the battle? Because I know you can't do that with a couple abilities.
I don't know. I haven't tried it. I don't know if anybody has. All right, then. We're going to move on to the next question, question number two. So question number two is, what dual-type Pokemon has a pre-evolution that it shares no types with?
One more time, sir.
What dual-type Pokemon? So this Pokemon's dual-type. It has two types. It has a pre-evolution, though, that has neither of those types.
I'm thinking it's a Pokemon that has one type. When it evolves into another type with no types. Yeah.
And I think...
And Gen 7 is included, sir, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I feel like it's one of the Pokemon from that generation.
You think so?
So I'm thinking on the top of my head. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Oh, man. This one has me stumped. What evolves and changes its types completely? Yeah, I'm kind of stumping this one.
Changes its type completely.
Oh, man. I feel like the basic needs to be like ground or bug or something like that, and it changes completely when it evolves.
I'm going to need an answer.
I don't know why. Maximus, it's going to have to be your call this time because I have no clue.
I can't even think of a Pokemon.
Should we use a hint?
You do have the hint.
It's kind of weird since this is the second question.
I know. But what do we do?
Well, we're going to have to use it anyway, so we might as well.
Hint.
Hint, please.
Hint, it is a Gen 7 Pokemon. It's an Alolan form.
See, and that doesn't help me at all because I still haven't seen all the Pokemon in Gen 7.
Oh, man.
It's an Alolan form.
Oh, it's an Alolan.
Oh.
Oh, then I know exactly what it is. It's Marowak. Marowak.
Yeah. Dang.
Is that your final answer?
Idiots. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct. Alolan Marowak is 100% correct.
I feel so dumb right now.
Yeah, it's a fire ghost type, and Cubone's a ground type, so.
Oh, man.
You know, that's weird. How come Cubone is not an Alolan form?
Well, Pikachu isn't either.
That's, or Execute. That's just curious. Well, I understand why they didn't change Pikachu, but they changed Rattata for some reason, and they changed Grimer, but, like, Execute and Cubone didn't change at all.
No.
Sandshrew and Vulpix changed as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's just weird.
All right. So that gives you guys 2 points. We're going to move on to the next question. Our next question is going to be number three. I have it as C on my document.
Number C.
That's a good number, right? According to its Pokedex entry, Bagon tries to trigger its evolution by doing what?
Wasn't it jumping off cliffs?
That's what I was going to say, jumping off cliffs.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Yep.
That is absolutely correct. It actually explains why you find it, or where you find it, on Mele Mele Island in Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yep, because it's a cliff.
Well, it's on a cliff when you first find it, and then what's even funnier is you have a better chance of finding them on the bottom of the cliff. like, no joke, it's a 5% chance on the top of the cliff and 10% on the bottom.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's the only place you can find them, and it's by a cliff. I think it's so good to, like, add that to their lore. All right, so that's 3 points for you guys. You guys are doing well here.
Well, we used our hint, so we're kind of disappointed in ourselves, but we're going to keep going.
That's fine. You keep going. You're going to be fine. So question number four, which Poison-type Pokemon has both the highest attack and highest speed of all Poison-type Pokemon?
It has to be the new one. The evolution of, oh my god, what's the name? The Salamander.
Salazzle?
It's speed and it hits hard. I'm
trying to think fast poison.
It's got the highest attack and the highest speed stat of all Gengar, Pokemon.
Gengar doesn't have the highest attack.
That means there's something faster than Gengar. Can you repeat the question one more time, sir?
What Poison-type Pokemon has both the highest attack and the highest speed stat of all Poison-type Pokemon?
See, it has attack and speed. I don't think it's Salazzle, because Salazzle's more of a special user.
This is, of course, including Mega Evolutions as well.
Crobat, no, but at this point
it has fast. To be
But it has to
faster than Crobat. Yeah, I'm saying, like, what's faster than Crobat?
What poison megas do we have? Oh, Beedrill, Mega Beedrill. But I don't know how fast it is.
Yep, there we go.
Is it fast?
Yeah, it's fast. It's very fast.
Then you want to go with Beedrill. Mega Beedrill?
Yes, go with Mega Beedrill.
Mega Beedrill it is.
That is correct, guys. That is 4 points for you.
Nice.
That is all 4 points there. So now we have the next question. Our next question. Mega Beedrill is the fastest and has the highest attack of all Poison-type Pokemon, so that's good for you guys. Actually, a strategy with Mega Beedrill and what's gonna go away with the new mechanics in Pokemon Sun and Moon once we actually do get Mega Beedrill or Beedrill Lite, because we do not have access to it right now. But once we do get access to it, you no longer have to use Protect for a turn to get the speed, since you get the speed boost now on the first turn.
That's
right there. Yeah. So Beedrill's gonna be a force to be reckoned with, actually.
And I'm glad, because Beedrill has always been one of my favorite underrated Pokemon since Gen 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Butterfree didn't get anything. But
yeah.
Especially with Butterfree being in this game.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so question number 5. And this one is worth 2 points. It's got two answers, and so you'll need to tell me both of them to get both points. Throughout the history of Pokemon, it has been possible to evolve Eevee into Espeon in two different ways. What are those two methods of evolving Eevee into Espeon?
Okay. I know one. Well, one is obviously with friendship. Mm-hmm. High friendship and...
In the day cycle.
And I actually know the other one.
What was the other one?
In Pokemon XD Shadow of Darkness, you get a Sun Shard.
Right. Yes. The Moon Shard and Sun Shard. Yes.
And you can evolve it that way as well.
Yep. That's it.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Both correct. You can evolve Eevee into Espeon by evolving it with High Friendship during the day. And the Sun Shard and Gale of Darkness was used as a one-off way to evolve Eevee into Espeon. Also, you could, of course, use the Moon Shard, I believe. They had one for Eevee into Umbreon as well, because back then, it wasn't very evident how to evolve them into Espeon and Umbreon. Mm-hmm. You could definitely do it, though, in Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, I feel bad if you had a Pokemon that evolved with friendship in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
It took forever.
It was just so that you could have Espeon and Umbreon as your starter in the game, essentially, because they'd hand you the stone or they hand you the shard. You got to pick mm-hmm. which one you want at the beginning of the game. And so that is it for the questions today. You guys got 6 points.
Woo!
So that's...
You know
that's,
what? I'm still mad. We could have had 7. Wait, unless you took... Wait, is the hint thing still there? Or
No, because you guys used the hint, so you guys can't have the point.
No. If we didn't use the hint, we got all of the questions right.
Yeah, you would have... Absolutely.
Man, that
changes the leaderboard, though, quite significantly. So let me click my magic button so that I don't misspeak it this time. So, in first place, we have Jushiro. He has moved up to first with 25 points. He's one away from that hoodie, guys. As a reminder, the first person to 30 gets the Pucko hoodie.
But he's one away, but he has 25 points?
Oh, no, he might be one show away if he gets 5 points. Like, if he does as well as he did today, he can get it next time. Right.
Gator, I'm looking at you.
Gator is in second place. with 23 points. Dr. Shamu is in third with 20 points. In fourth place is Mr. Maximus with 19 points. In fifth place is the Fluffiest Whimsicott with 17 points. See how these are all like so close together? It's fantastic. In sixth place, we have Professor Snag with 16 points. In seventh place, we have Bo with 10 points. In eighth place, we have Viger with 5. And in ninth place, we have Ethan with 4. So that is that is where we are. So we are close to the end here, guys, before we have to reset the ladder. So, of course, we are going to move on then to the topic today. So we are going to take a short break, and we will see you when it's over.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening, and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome back, guys, onto the topic. Our topic today is going to be the Alola region itself. I do this all the time. If you go back in the catalogs, you can see a bunch of episodes where we've talked about the regions of specific games and how that influenced a lot of the game. And it's just a fun aspect to kind of get a discussion going about. Kind of like the Bagon thing we were just talking about, and how when you find it on Mele Mele Island, there's a cliff and it's jumping off. These yep. regions have a bunch of little Easter eggs in them with a lot of inspiration.
It's lore, and lore is there to make a fantasy world just come alive. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much, this episode's going to be us like talking about Easter eggs, essentially. I mean,
yep.
not straightforward, but it's, so for those of you who don't know, Alola is based on Hawaii.
you don't say.
Yeah, right? And I honestly, like, my past year was just full of Hawaii, let me tell you. Because, like, I went there for my honeymoon. I went to Oahu, which is what the basis for Mele Mele Island is, by the way. I went to mm-hmm. Oahu. And then I went to, I got really into the movie Moana this year.
Oh, it's so good. And the music from Lin-Manuel, so good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
I gotta see it.
I would suggest going to see it, Maximus. It was a good movie.
Fun fact to all those who don't know, the writer of the songs, most of the songs in Moana, is the writer of Hamilton. So,
I'm sure that's what everybody wanted to know.
It is important information.
It's important because he is Yushiro's man crush.
Oh, yes.
And so, but they did a fantastic job with this Hawaiian theme, because I feel like Hawaii is just becoming more, like the actual culture is coming to the public eye a lot more, especially recently. I mean, I might be biased because of the echo chambers I'm in.
You're completely right.
I feel like the Polynesian culture is coming up as like its own distinct culture. And because I don't know, I feel like if you would have gone back 15 years ago, and mm-hmm. you would have talked to somebody about Hawaii, they would have been like, oh, yeah, that's part of the United States, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody would be like, oh, yeah, they have this awesome, rich culture, da-da-da-da-da. I'm probably so biased, and somebody's going to be like, no, it's wrong, Thatch. But whatever. I love the Hawaiian culture. The Hawaiian culture is fantastic. They eat a lot of pork. And
good people, them.
But, yeah, this region was just... more so than other regions, which, you know, the first four regions in Pokemon were all based on Japan, right? You know, they were all different regions in Japan, and I honestly, you could feel some inspiration from the real life locations, but not much.
Yeah, I think from the original ones, I think Johto would be the one that it resembles more Japan than even Kanto.
I think Kanto. Really? If anything, is the way it is. Because, okay. I mean, first of all, it's limited by the art, right?
Of course, yes.
Because we have sprite art, and it's like 8-bit, and it's fantastic in retro glory. I feel like that is probably the most westernized section of Japan, right? Tokyo. Mm. But, okay. I mean... we should have Scrawn on for this episode now.
Oh yeah,
but I feel like he's gonna just like slap me tomorrow when he listens to this. He's gonna be like, "It's wrong," I don't know. I feel like that is just the most where you could resemble it as like giant city. And I mean, I don't know where Cerulean City would be in Japan, but
Johto. What I feel very Japan about Johto is once you get to Ikuchi City, Ikuchi and you see City. The towers and the music that is, and then you fight with the kimono girls and all that Japanese culture.
I know Kyoto is definitely like more buried in that tradition than Tokyo is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I was trying to say. Maybe not westernized was the right word back when I was saying that. But yeah, it's definitely full of, it's got more of that old traditional culture. And so that's, you know, that's what Ecruteque City is Kyoto. And so, yeah, fun fact. And so they're right next to each other. It's fantastic. Let's do that again, Game Freak. Let's just, now you see these two regions, now make them kiss.
Shipping. So we move out of Japan for the first time, right? And that will be for Gen 5, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, technically in a main series game, Gen 5. But fun fact, if you go back to what we were talking about in the trivia section, we were talking about Gale of Darkness and Colosseum.
Yeah.
Actually, that region Or that they both take place in is actually based on the Western U.S.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fun fact.
The desert over there by
where New Mexico and Arizona is, and then there's that one village that's like in a rainforest that's up by Washington.
Mm-hmm. Dalton, California.
Yeah, and it's mostly in like desert California. Have you played these games, Jushiro, by the way?
I did, but when it came out and so long ago, I don't remember.
Exactly. Okay, I would suggest getting a playthrough in again.
Oh no, for sure. Now, especially since I live in the western part of the U.S. now, I can get the references. When I played the first time, I just lived in Puerto Rico, so I was completely ignorant.
Well, I feel compared to this and probably Kalos, the regions back then were much more subtly inspired. Mm-hmm. And these, that's probably one of the downsides I'd say about Alola is that it was kind of like in your face. Hey, look, we're based on Hawaii.
Call that a downside, but I get you.
But there's the fact that they were building regions on their own culture, and then based on next regions based on other cultures. So you kind of put a little bit more effort trying to make.
Oh yeah, I think look better. I think they're definitely trying to do more, especially after they left Japan. They're just kind of like, hey, we need to like actually show that it's based on this culture, right? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, Unova wasn't so much. I think the biggest one was that there was a basketball player. I mean, that's me. That's like the only thing I can pick out in Unova that's make like this is New York, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm just like, yeah, this is another Pokemon region. But then when you get to Kalos, you can definitely tell it's French inspired because of the way they ask you for tips, they do all this other stuff. I thought that was like the perfect amount. Kalos was the perfect amount of like, yeah, there's like French, there's hints of French culture in here, you know?
But I feel it was very in your face as well. I mean, you got the Professor Sycamore who would occasionally say French words.
Okay, yes, fair.
So yeah, it was, and then the cafe theme, which is very hip in French, you know, cafe stands everywhere. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really in your face as well. I mean, and again, I don't call that a downside. I actually appreciate because it lends to a more rich Pokemon world where, hey, Kalos is not the same as Kanto. They're two different regions. They have their own, not only their own different Pokemon, but they have their own different culture. They're all different tastes and they're all different flavor.
I understand that. And maybe I'm more looking back with rose-colored glasses. And Alola, though, maybe I'm just being like a little cynical because my least favorite thing is how everybody says hello to you by saying Alola, and I've just made the hand motions. Because that's like saying, it's like going up to somebody in Hawaii and being like, Hawaii. and like the equivalent of like when you guys come to visit me, I go Ohio, you know, and
like it wouldn't be that awkward actually.
Honestly, Ohio is a really bad example of that. It'd be like going to visit Ethan and then going New York.
Exactly.
There we go. I fixed it. Ohio doesn't sound that bad. It sounds like it could be a greeting.
Decent, weird. Yeah.
It's got a lot of vowels. It sounds like it'd be okay. but yeah, we have all of these issues, right? And so So, but that's my biggest issue is that they're really trying to force the, like, oh yes, we're all friends, and it's like, yeah, no, you are. And aloha is a big thing in Hawaii. Everybody's really cool with the word and stuff with that. But I mean, don't name your region something. Don't name your region after your greeting.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been totally fine if they named it Alola, and then, like, everybody's like, aloha. Like, just rip it straight from Hawaii, you know? Yeah. You pretty much did. You just replaced the letter. But Alola, other than that, I think it's fantastic. It's, like, a perfect representation of Hawaii. Like, 100%.
It really is. And it really gives that flavor of tropicalness and, mm-hmm. you know, this Pacific centric culture that's so rich, it's so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I saw Alolan Marowak the first time, I'm like, this fits perfectly because it's a fire dancer, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a huge thing in Hawaii. I don't even think it's not even part of like the deep culture of Hawaii. It's like it was after they started commercializing it, actually.
It's like a Pacific thing, yeah.
Well, like, they used to just do, like, twirling and stuff like that, right? And then I think there was a guy when they were, like, it was like a tourist thing. And there, mm-hmm. and so some guy was doing the twirling and everything like they used to traditionally. And he's like, you know what? I'll just light these ends on fire. It'll be cooler. And that, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Now, don't quote me.
But, yeah, he's a physicist, not a historian.
Yeah, I'm not a historian. Let's keep this straight. I just run a Pokemon podcast.
And it's funny. That's what people think of when you take up Hawaii. That's one of the first things they think of, ironically.
Yeah. Well, that and hula dancers.
Let's not talk about hula dancers either.
Please just let's.
No. let's talk about the disappointing fact that there's no Blossom in Alola.
Right?
Isn't that just like a missed opportunity?
Big missed opportunity. We should have had... I don't know. It's like our first Alolan was Blossom. It was the Alolan form of Vileplume, and it wasn't even featured there. It's incredible. Incredible.
I think that's incredible that we couldn't get Blossom in Alola. It's so sad.
I would have loved like an Alolan Blossom with its leaves of a different color so it matched more.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
That would have been awesome.
We got Oreo-Coco. Yeah, Oreo-Coco.
That's true, yes. Which is pretty awesome, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're right. Oreo-Coco is all right. I'm not a huge fan. I'm a little upset that the different forms don't get different level up, you know?
Mm-hmm. They help sort, like, for each of their types help them.
Yeah, but they are based on the finches that are in Hawaii. Fun fact. This is a thing. They go to different islands, they do look different.
Yeah.
So that's 100% a thing. All of the islands, though, are very resemblant, are very not symbolic of like the islands in Hawaii, though. There are eight islands. There are eight Hawaiian islands, by the way, and we have four Alolan islands plus the one synthetic island that we made, or that the Ether Foundation made, even though it's pretty much just a giant boat.
Yeah.
Just a giant boat. But... there is no synthetic island in Hawaii, as far as I know. But there, you know, Pony Island, is that, can somebody tell me if that's the correct pronunciation?
You're asking the wrong man when it comes to pronunciation.
Is it Pony Island or Pawnee Island? Like,
for some reason, I'm thinking it's called Pawnee Island for some reason.
Yeah. I think it might be Pawnee Island. It's actually based on, what is it? There's an island in it's Kauai. Kauai is actually an island that has very few people on it, just like Pawnee Island. Like, very few people actually live there. So I think that's really cool. I also thought it's really cool that the Pokemon League, instead of being on Oahu, which is the most populous island, which is what Mele Mele Island's based on, was on the quote-unquote what they call the Big Island in Hawaii, which is the island that is literally just called Hawaii. And so I thought that was really cool that the Pokemon League is on the biggest island. It's on the island they call Hawaii. So I thought that was super interesting.
That's a very interesting Easter egg.
Yeah, right? And then also, I believe Akala Island is based on Maui, which is pretty much the resort island, which all of the resorts are on. And it's fantastic. There's just so many, like, it's just like, this is 100% Hawaii.
And that's what I love about it. It's that bringing that Pokemon and Game Freak does a great job of just on not just giving us a great, great Pokemon game, but also bringing into it so much love of different cultures and different aspects of the world, and just saying, hey, we are all Pokemon, everyone, no matter who you are. And we see this clearly in their commercials.
That's true.
Right. Where it's like, hey, you might be from Hawaii, you might be from Japan, you might be from Egypt. It doesn't matter. This is Pokemon and we're all Pokemon, and we're bringing everyone to the table and to the world and just giving it so much life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even know this. Here's an Easter egg for you guys. So Melimele Island, there's one trial on it, right? Who's the trial captain on Melimele Island? Remember his name?
I don't remember any of the names.
Wait, Melimele, that's the island you start off on?
Yeah.
You mean Hal's grandfather?
No, that's the Kahuna. I'm talking about the trial captain. His name's Illima.
Illima, yeah.
Which is the island flower of Oahu, which is what it's based on.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So there's also the Waikiki Strip, which is pretty much like that road you walk on right next to your house. Also, let's take a moment and just say how your house is where you heal your Pokemon. You can heal your Pokemon in your house, but you live next door to a Pokemon Center.
Yeah.
So that's a little weird, but whatever. Whatever.
There's lots of chances to heal your Pokemon in this generation. It's like everywhere.
Well, but to be also, fair, you don't go to the next. You don't start off in the first time. You have to go to the other direction first.
Yeah, that's true.
The beginning.
So Holoway City, which is right there as well, has like a mall you can go in. And it's actually based on the Alamoana Mall, which is the big mall on Oahu as well. So just throwing that out there. There's just so many, like, real life, you know, back and forth. Another one would be 10 Carat Hill. You know how it's like a mountain that you go in and then you can go into the center and, like, there's nothing there. So it's just like Diamond Head Crater on Oahu as well.
This is, like, excellent too if you want to, like, plan a vacation to Hawaii and you want to visit these locations.
They're not like super geographically correct. I will throw that out there.
Well, it's still awesome to go to a place where something is based off.
Yeah, no, totally. I made a point when I went to Hawaii for my honeymoon in June I went and sat on the exact park bench they put the reveal trailer in, the Japanese trailer in.
That's awesome.
Because you know how, like, they all get together and they, like, at the end they, like, go and hang out at the park bench?
Yeah.
We were staying literally, we were staying within walking distance of that beach. I made a point of, like, going to that picnic table and, like, that sitting there. And I think we took some pictures. I don't know if we sent them out at all. So let's see. I don't want to go over all these. There's a lot of, like, back and forth that are pretty much, like, the same. And it's just like, look at all these awesome things. Like, there is a ranch on Maui, just like the one that you go to on Akala Island with the Meltank and the Tauros.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, they just, like, took everything straight from it, like, 100%. They're like, yeah, this is how it is.
Pokevision it.
Yeah.
And I think it's the fact also that we have the graphical capabilities to be able to do something and give it enough.
Yeah, that's
enough.
True. That's true. We wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't have been able to do that in Gen 3. We wouldn't have been able to do that even in Gen 4. You know, there were some minor things that, like, hints that they're based on those regions, like the sand, being buried in sand, like in Hoenn. You can do that. And you could do in Lava Ridge Town, I believe it's called. Yes. And then, you know, in Platinum version, Sinnoh would get snowy because, you know, it's the farthest northern, it's the most northern part of Japan, which is going to be the coldest during winter, obviously. And so.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So let's go real quick. I'll talk about a few other things because I don't want to sit here all day and just being like, this is Hawaii. And it's awesome. let's see. I want to pick one really good, and then we'll just end it there, and we'll talk about whatever else we want to talk about. so Let's see. So we have the Molly Garden on what's it called? What do they call it? Ula Ula Island. So Ula Ula Island is based on the Big Island, Hawaii. And so there's actually just like the garden in Malamala City, there is actually a garden called, I'm gonna butcher this name because it's named after, I believe, the last queen of Hawaii. No, that's Kapi'olani. That's different. This is different. This is a Liliuokalani Kalani Park and Gardens. It's on the Big Island. It is exactly like Molly Garden. It is designed to look like a Japanese garden. So that's another one. There's just so many. There's so many to talk about. So I would definitely I definitely look out. Also, I mentioned this on a show. I don't know if either of you guys were on it, but I would definitely look out for a sequel to these games.
Really?
Yeah. So I was actually talking to Sycamore a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I guess now. We put out the episode only like 2 weeks ago, but we talked about a month ago. And so we were talking and he's just like, yeah, did you notice on every island there's like a building being built? Did you notice that? In Hololi City, there's a building being built. In Molly City, there's a building being built. On Akala Island, I forget what the name of the city is. But there's also a building being built. And then
at the
Seafolk Village, there's a building being built. His theory or whoever he heard it from, their theory was that they were building gyms. Because they're founding a Pokemon League in Alola. So I wouldn't be very surprised if, like, I mean, we've been hearing these Pokemon Stars rumors, right?
Yeah.
We've been hearing about these Pokemon Star rumors on the Nintendo Switch and stuff. And I mean, obviously that's the way you're going to sell that console if it doesn't sell well. Like that's a good plan B to Zelda Breath of the Wild, which doesn't need a plan B, but it's a fantastic idea, and you know, but I think it would be more of a sequel, a follow-up, to get people to buy that game in addition to, you know, Sun and Moon, instead of just making a Sun and Moon port straight up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would just be like, hey, check out Alola 2 years later, just like we checked out Unova 2 years later in Black and White 2.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, they add some gyms in, and it's just like, oh man, this is the classic Pokemon, you know? With, you know, this is a classic Pokemon. After we, you know, strayed from the formula so much.
It would be nice to come back to it in a different way.
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting. So, if you haven't, check that out. Check it out. It would be very interesting to come back to it after going through, you know, the changes, being like, okay, let's see that go back. Let's take this really cool region we built and see it try to conform to some of our older standards.
Do you think that Pokemon Stars, if it does exist, will definitely bring out not only Alola back, but maybe Kalos? Because I keep thinking that we were robbed of a chance to just go back to Kalos.
In my opinion, I think that we were definitely, I think there might have been like a third game in the works.
Yeah.
But what happened was, I mean, first of all, after looking at the sales numbers, I've said this, I think, a few weeks ago, I do not doubt that there was good reason there for there not to be a Pokemon Z.
Yeah.
Pokemon Black and White 2 sold horribly compared to the previous, or compared to Platinum, compared to Emerald. Like, okay. It was just like, oh no, we don't want to rehash of the formula. And it's just like, okay, I understand. But I think it could do well. Honestly, you know, if you boast that like it's got superior graphics in the case of the Switch, which I doubt it's going to be much better, but we'll see.
Well, there is an HD element that they have to deal with when they it's not like an optional thing. They can't just port it and let it be.
No,
if you have a unit that is designed to work on an HD TV, you have to prep it for HD. Otherwise, it would just look horrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we're not going to be able to have the 3DS resolution. The 3DS resolution is abysmal.
Yeah.
It's like 800 by 240. And so you can tell if you look hard enough.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They look hard enough, you can tell, but they do a fantastic job with it. I'll give them that.
Oh, no, yeah.
I think that, I mean, with the slowdowns that there are, and like with all of the lag that exists in Pokemon right now, I wouldn't be surprised.
Me neither.
I wouldn't be surprised. So we're gonna put that on the shelf, and we're gonna wait until next week and see what happens. When they have the Switch announcement, we'll see if it's there. I wouldn't be surprised because they have this point process where they give me a game and then like 2 months later they're just like, hey, here's the next thing you're gonna want.
Yeah, here's the next hype train, choo choo, get on board.
Here's the next thing you're gonna want, and I'm just like, okay. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed that discussion. So we're gonna take a quick commercial break here, guys, and we'll come right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you on the flip-flop.
And last time on Dead Denizens of Our Lives, Ivysaur was still trying to find out who the father of her child was.
Ivysaur!
She knew that it could be Charmeleon's son, but they'd also had an affair with Chansey.
Charmeleon!
Chansey!
And meanwhile, Meowstic and Buniri were seeing each other behind Gallade's back.
Meowstic! Buniri!
Gallade!
Join us for the fist-clenching, heart-wrenching season finale of Dedenes of Our Beautiflies.
And welcome back, guys. We are here with the Pokemon of the episode, National Dex number 103, Exeggutor, the Coconut Pokemon.
Its moon entry states, as it grew taller and taller, it outgrew its reliance on psychic powers, while within it awakened the power of a sleeping dragon.
Okay, so before we go on, in the last segment, we were talking about Kauai Island. And I was incorrect. I had my Hawaiian geography mixed up, and I was thinking of Kauai Island, I believe. Kihau Island, or Niihau Island. My apologies. I had all the words messed up there. I had those two mixed up. That's actually based on a Alolan Exeggutor Island, so good segue there. And along with Kauai, because between the two of them, like 170 people live on them. Kauai Island, though, as we were talking about, actually has like 66,000 people living on it, but whatever. There's still plenty of places on that island that have like nobody living them, much like the canyon on Pony Island. There we go. I made my fix in Hawaiian.
There we go. You're no longer.
I didn't want people to like think that I was dumb, but even though I was.
It wasn't a permanent affliction. It was just at the time.
It was just at the time. I was dumb at the time, though, because I had my islands mixed up. So, but let's talk about Alolan Exeggutor. Alolan Exeggutor is the tallest Pokemon ever.
Yeah.
And he is a dragon type instead of a psychic type because he woke up the sleeping dragon within.
Which we have no idea what that means.
So everybody's just like, man, Alolan Exeggutor, it must be really good at, like, Pokemoning. And the answer is not really.
No,
not. So Alolan Exeggutor has base stats of 95 HP, 105 attack, 85 defense, 125 special attack, which is pretty high, 75 special defense, and 45 speed. Pretty low. But yes. Let's take a look. So there's a couple of ways you can run it. First of all is that he can actually work really well in a Trick Room. Maximus was talking about this beforehand. So you could run a set where he's running, you know, minimum speed and stuff like that. He actually gets access to Trick Room, so he can learn Trick Room.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw Draco Meteor on there to capitalize on that 125 base special attack. You could throw he gets Flamethrower. Fun fact. You could throw that on there. Energy Ball or Leaf
Dragon.
Storm. Energy Ball or Leaf Storm gets that Grass Stab. So that's fantastic. And on top of that, so if he's running Trick Room, I would suggest either running Grass EMZ or Dragon EMZ, because then you can just hit really hard. You can hit whatever you want really hard with 252 yeah. special attack investment.
Mm-hmm.
So go for that. I mean, there's also a couple. You could run him with Harvest. You know, he's got the Harvest ability, so you could capitalize on that with like a Citrus Berry or a Lumb Berry or something like that. It works better in Sun, so it might be more of a double strategy, but I don't see it working well in doubles anyway.
Or you can just run it the best way. You can definitely run Exeggutor, which is just don't run it.
Yeah, exactly. another way to run it, though, you could just max out the attack. Run him bulky, you know. It could work again in Trick Room. But he gets access to Dragonhammer there. He gets access to Earthquake. He gets access to Woodhammer. And you could throw on Trick Room as like the fourth slot again, just to capitalize on that. In my opinion, Trick Room's not a very viable like single strategy, but somebody else could go ahead and show me wrong. I mean, Trick Room is I like playing Trick Room in doubles, and this is just a personal playstyle thing. Like, somebody could probably make a singles Trick Room team work, you know? And it's an awesome form of speed control. I've seen some people play it against me. It doesn't always work against me, mostly because I can seed around it. But in doubles, it's fantastic. I love Trick Room in doubles. I think because those matches go way faster, and so you can actually capitalize on the five turns of Trick Room. Well, those are just my two cents. But, I mean, you could probably make this work in singles. I don't see why not. At least have fun with it, right?
My problem with Exeggutor, even because I love all Pokemon, you don't have to be good or powerful to be for me to play it. Because, as you all guys know, I'm a TCG guy, but I love the video games. I play the video games a lot. I just don't train competitive yet. So, but my issue with Exeggutor is by the time you get Exeggutor, Alolan Exeggutor in the game, you're running against many dragons and ice types that outrun him so easily.
anything with ice beam.
And it's like, even in the game where you're not even training to be competitive, it's so hard to use them because everything kills them in one go. I remember I got Alolan Exeggutor and I immediately got into a cave, and all there was in that cave was freaking Alolan Sandshrews and Alolan Dugtrios, and they were constantly knocking out my Alolan Exeggutor, causing me to just box them and like, I'm not going to use them. I'm sorry. It's not feasible.
Yeah, that sounds right. that absolutely sounds right.
You don't have to train one to get one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they give you one in the game. Like, you pretty much just, like, walk into one.
Yeah.
So, that's all right. It's not the best Pokemon, but it's a Pokemon. It's actually worse than, I think, regular Exeggutor in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Because regular Exeggutor... No, never mind. I'm wrong. I was just like...
Regular Exeggutor did get a boost in something, didn't it?
It did. It got a boost in Special Defense. Yeah. Bringing it up from a base 65 to a base 75. The difference between Alolan Exeggutor and regular Exeggutor is that regular Exeggutor gets 10 extra base speed, so you get a base speed of 55. He's cruising with that, let me tell you. and it takes away 10 points from his base attack at 95. So, that's really the only difference. I honestly think Alolan Exeggutor has the better spread.
Yeah.
That just because you get that extra 10 in attack, you're going to use that more often than you're going to use the extra 10 in speed.
Yeah.
When the speed's that low. Like, if it was a difference between, like, a base 70 versus the base 60 speed, I'd say, whoa, whoa, whoa there, buddy. Now you have a difference. Yeah. But a base 55 to a base 45, I don't see a difference. Speed tier-wise. Those are my two cents on Alolan Exeggutor and speed tiers.
So in the TCG, we have absolutely nothing because nothing has been revealed or released yet for Alolan Exeggutor. But we will sit here and wait for it to, as normally the TCG
Did you know 20 years prior to Alolan Exeggutor, or not 20, maybe 19 or 18 years prior to Alolan Exeggutor, the TCG actually predicted Alolan Exeggutor.
Really?
Did you know this? Because there was a set in Japan only. I think it made it to the US. I'm not 100% sure. There is actually a set, let me see, I forget what it was called. It was actually from the jungle set, actually, on the top of the TCG booster boxes. Okay. There was actually, an elongated Exeggutor on those boxes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the primate or?
It's the Mankey hanging on it.
Mankey.
It's the Mankey's hanging on it. Yeah. And so it's the jungle set. And so they actually have an elongated neck on the Exeggutor.
Yeah, I think this was the same box where they revealed the first cards for Marill as well. Because it was
This is the jungle. No? This is jungle.
Oh, just jungle. Okay.
This was the Japanese TCG booster box. You're thinking. Gotcha. I know what set you're thinking of. I know exactly what set you're thinking of. A different set. Different set.
Gotcha.
All right. So that's pretty much. I don't know if I can say anything else about Alolan Exeggutor.
Yeah. Don't play it.
I mean, you can definitely try. I'm not going to say don't try. I'm not going to try. But you can.
I got something about there's something I noticed about Lone Executor when I'm playing the games. Can anyone ever see the top of it? Like when the game's at
no,
all?
No, like in the Pokedex, it's like intentionally half of it, its head is out of the screen.
See, I wish I could name one "Get Your Head in the Game." Literally.
Oh my gosh, that'd be fantastic. That's the best nickname for a Alolan Executor.
But it won't fit.
Get your head in the game. You could probably like come up with like a way to get around that. You could probably like abbreviate something.
Yeah.
Maybe get UR head. I guess a smiley face.
Yeah.
In the DA game.
Yeah, maybe that might fit. There's got to be a way. Oh, well. Okay, so if you want to learn more about Pokemon, you can check out PucklePodcast.com, where we have a host of articles being written about things. So check that out. Our writers are fantastic, and we'll talk Pokemon. Scrawn does an awesome In the Meta article as well. So check that out. And so we're going to take it on over, guys, and we're going to kick it over to the mailbag.
Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails. The mail's here. Check your inbox. It's time for the mailbag. Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Yeah, they did it. Okay. And as always, we will be giving out the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. I think there's actually a few people that don't have it yet. So we will go ahead and try to find out who that person is. So last week, our mail, for those of you who are new to the show, I should start there. The mailbag segment is where we read viewer emails, viewers. Yes, they are viewers, not listeners. listeners' emails on the show. And we typically have a prompt question. Obviously, you don't need to answer that. We'll pick our favorite few emails of the week, and we'll go ahead and read them, respond to them on the show. So let's dig right on in. So our first email is going to be from the Sentient Pokeball. So let me pull that up. Okay, here we go. Greetings, fellow Puckalonians. It is I, the Sentient Pokeball, writing in to the main show after what it seems like forever. I have become thoroughly consumed with the Pokemon TCG and regularly chat with Puckalonians in our Puckle TCG Facebook group. I have been diligently breeding Pokemon, though, so I plan on entering the upcoming Puckle tournament. By the way, everybody, the UTC is up. You can go and sign up for it right now. Go and do it. You have until, I believe, the 20th to do that. So please go sign up for the UTC. I hope to see you there. As I said, also I'm gonna sweeten the pot a little bit too.
Hmm.
The prize pot. So we're giving away, first of all, the Nationals TCG mat, which looks really slick. That's like first prize. You win it, you get this really cool, nice Nationals TCG mat. On top of that, you'll also get a Green Tauros badge, like a physical one. Now, if you get in second place, you'll get a generations box of pretty much your choosing, because we have almost all of them in the Puckle Prize Closet. Thanks
and
to
when
Dr.
he
Shamu.
Says generation box, he means the one
generations
in,
TCG
a promo. Yeah, I know. It includes a promo card and two booster packs
and a pin.
And a pin. And a pin. It's not the actual generation box. Which
yeah,
36 boosters.
In addition, you'll also get a Green Tauros badge. And then, because I have a lot of these badges, I gotta give them away.
I wish I had one.
And then door prize is gonna be a choice of either a Generations box or a Green Tauros badge. Jushiro, you'll get one. Maximus needs one too, I think. You guys will get them. Don't worry. But yeah, you should definitely sign up for the upcoming tournament. While watching various regionals and international streams on Twitch, I breed my mons, so my life is a never-ending stream of Pokemon. By the way, remember when some of us thought that that hyper training would almost eliminate breeding? What a fool I was. In any case, let's get to the mailbag question. What is my least favorite Alolan Pokemon? To be quite honest, I like a lot of the new Pokemon. This gen has a lot of memorable newcomers. And the amount of awesome new bug types introduced are some of my favorite additions. Hashtag make bugs great again.
Ugh.
I enjoy all of the Alolan forms, or at least tolerate them, so I have to be able, I've been able to narrow my selection of least favorites down to just two. These are Bruxish and Gumshoes. Both are absolutely hideous, but that's actually the only reason I dislike Bruxish. Because otherwise, I think it has a great move pool and abilities. Gumshoes, well, let me, I'll let you guess why I dislike that Pokemon. Hint, it has something to do with the elephant in the room.
That's great.
That's a good one. But
that's a really good, I love that hint.
That was a good one. well, I shall
get, you're the best.
Yeah. Well, I shall get back to brooding now. I hope I can at least win one game in the upcoming UUTC if I don't get paired up against R-Sigma round one, that is, the sentient Pokeball. Yeah, as I said, though, UUTC, you get a chance to win, like, a green Taurus badge or a Generations box just by signing up and doing your battles. It's double elimination, so everybody gets at least two rounds to play. And I'm planning on this time having everybody send in their battle videos, and then Snag and I or somebody else will commentate on it, and we'll get those put up on the YouTube so you can actually watch what's going on. I really want to be able to do that. I want to get more content out there like that.
Or like a silver conference.
Hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I we'll pick like one battle per round or something like that to commentate and highlight. So I think that'd be a really cool way to do it.
Cool.
All right, who wants to grab this next one from Nathan Pete? Or, oops, said it wrong. Notchinator. I apologize. Okay, go for it. Go for it, Jushiro and or Maximus.
I'll go. Okay, so, g'day from New Zealand, where seasons are irrelevant to what kind of weather we have. It's Notchinator here, and I got to say, happy belated New Year's to everyone. Happy New Year's to you too, g'day. I've enjoyed playing through my copy of Pokemon Moon, and I'm on my way to catching the Ultra Beast and also drawing my Alolan Raichu looking smug while drinking a lemonade in front of Lusamine?
Okay, so if he's got a picture of that, he needs to send that to us.
He did? Oh, okay.
No, he needs to. I mean, I need to see that picture.
So, onto the mailbag. My least favorite Gen 7 Pokemon, I've got to say, is Marshadow. Because, to me, it looks out of place in Pokemon universe. I just hope the Pokemon company knows what kind of story they are going to make Marshadow seem more at home in this game. Other than that, I feel the rest of the Alolan Pokemon are interesting, unique, and especially Celestella. Keep up the great work, and I hope to keep more contact during 2017. Naturator out.
Also, he sent a podcast intro, so you guys heard that intro at the beginning of the podcast. It wasn't his. His is going to be next week. But we have Ellis Holmes at the beginning here, so thank you again. He does fantastic work there. If you would like to be at the intro of Puckle, you can go ahead and record an intro just saying, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, and we'll probably slap it at the beginning of a show one day. We'll do all the effects ourselves. You don't have to worry about it. Just record yourself if you want to do it in any way you want to do it. So definitely go ahead and do it. Podcast intros are awesome. All right. So the next one is from Breeder Eddie. You can grab this one if you want, Maximus.
Okay. I'm out of my cave. The game came out. I was done with finals at school, and I finished the game. I plan on being at the next Chatbox meetup.
Which is actually today when this podcast comes out. It's at 7 p.m., so come and do that. I'll be giving out dittos, and I'll also be giving the patrons the Ninetales that I owe them from last month.
Hmm. All right. They'll show up.
Yeah, definitely show up.
I want my Ninetales.
Keep going, Maximus. Keep going. I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. And I'm not sure if I should do it while I'm at work or if I should leave work early and do it from home. But either way, I hope I'm able to make it. I would just leave early from work. So, yeah.
Yeah, priorities, man. Priorities.
Yeah. We don't want anyone getting in trouble. I know Puckle is great.
Quit your job and just join Puckle.
Please don't.
Complete opposite what I was saying.
Please don't.
I've gone through and listened to some old episodes. Awesome content, guys. Keep it up. Breeder Eddie.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and grab this next one. So this next one is from Barkley Lola, and he's got an awesome story. So you guys stop and like comment on literally any part you want to. I think it's awesome. I think he used to be on the show as Barkley Lola, but he decides to go by the new name Unova Champion Nicholas. Alola, Trainer Thatch and Professor Sycamore, or Jushiro and Maximus, whichever one you want to go with. I am not programmed with the right dialogue to start this email. Let me unleash my hidden power to hit you with a soothing aromatherapy. I first encountered Puckle in the Tall Grass with episode number 36, Abilities. Oh god, that was like year two of Puckle. I apologize for all of the garbage you had to listen to. At least that's a rough estimate. The original date is not correct due to the site change. That's true. The site change did screw up a lot of the dates. I fled the community much like Pokemon Trainer ended after the battle at the Giant Chasm in Black and White 2. What have I been doing off screen? I've traveled to Route 209 and pay the respects to the Lost Tower. I locked eyes with Lorekeeper Zinnia and heard the tale of her intense battle with Ethan to save the world. My skills were put to the test at the Battle Frontier, where I faced hacks after hacks. I caught up with Drayden and Iris at the Lumio City Pokemon Center. I've surfed every region in hopes of finding shards to trade for stones. Okay, not really. What's been happening? I've been searching for truths and ideals. I started listening to your show when I was seismic... I was seismic tossed because I love Pokemon. My friends wanted nothing to do with the franchise. I pedal danced away from them and saw your podcast. I've occasionally chimed in on the show over the past few years. I guess I qualify under old school Puckle. Absolutely, if you think that you started at episode 36.
Oh, yeah.
What episodes did you guys start at? Do you guys remember, like, at all?
Oh, I will have to go back and check. In fact, I think you might know, nice little Jishiro trivia. My first interaction in the game was actually a mailbag I sent in. I was the guy that had the girlfriend that made the Pokemon Valentine's Day thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that was you? I remember that. I actually remember that. do you remember when you started listening, Maximus? You were much longer than Jushiro, I think. Because that would have been like, when you did that Valentine's thing, that was like right after we came back as like new rejuvenated Puckle with Bo.
Oh, yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
Two or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been here about maybe, I would say almost 3 years now.
I know you were here before Bo, right? Or no? Maybe not.
I don't know. I just didn't, first email interaction, I've been listening to you guys for like 3 years, but as far as interacting, that's a good question. That's a real good question. This is definitely when I was still back in Orlando.
Yeah, okay. So quick question to you guys. Like, I assume you guys were listening before you, like, send in emails, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, how long did you guys listen before you send in emails?
I would say a good 8 months to maybe 10 months before I sent the first email. Yep.
I did about a month.
Okay. So this isn't geared towards Maximus because he's obviously way cooler than you now. What made you wait that long? Like, I'm just really curious.
I guess it was, I was just listening and I enjoyed the show a lot. At that time, I still have a long commute, but I had a longer commute by that time. So I just was looking for something to listen to. And I was just listening to you guys. And at that time, before that, I was still juggling between all the different Pokemon podcasts that there were. I would listen to Pokemon Cast and all those. And eventually I settled with, definitely Puckle's the best one. So I just started listening to you guys. And at that time, when I had my San Valentine's, was the first time that I actually thought that I had something worth talking about in the podcast, so I sent my email. So that's basically it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, because, like, I just want to know what stops people. Because, like, I know we have so many people that, like, are listening to the show right now who haven't sent it in, and I'm just like, just do it. Just, like, hang out with us. Yeah. I want to be your friend.
Yeah, definitely. Don't wait. Just do it. It is
look,
a lot of fun.
Look, Jushiro sent in an email, and now he's, like, my best Seattle friend.
Yay.
Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to ruin Basket's friendship with me, because I like Basket too. So, Basket, I still love you.
Too late.
Too late. I ruined it. Okay.
That knows his favorites.
Okay. I guess I qualified under old school Puckle. I got psyched up when I saw the Sycamore podcast. Your podcast came in a time where I should have fallen out of love with Pokemon. My heart should have swapped. My love for Pokemon never dwindled. Each week or month, a new show appeared, and I was ready for an eargasm. The mailbag would feature Green Tauros guy, Pokemon, and shiny Giratina girl. Yes, it would.
Wow.
I remember all of them.
That's going to
happen. You remember those? Yeah, I remember those. I laughed and cried during your show. I did too.
Especially doing editing.
Yeah, let me tell you. I cannot stress if I never discovered your show, I would have lost interest in Pokemon. I am currently on a quest to obtain a job at the Pokemon Company International. That's how much I love this franchise.
Here in Seattle.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm studying journalism in hopes of working for public relations for TPCI. Oh, could you at least like tell me when Pokemon Bank's coming out and stuff?
I will lose his job.
You know, well, okay. There's like when the update doesn't come in January inevitably because we don't trust the Pokemon Company anymore. Can we have like better public relations? I've completed the National Dex 4.7 times. I have 4.7. I have Pokemon Bank full with my National Pokedexes. For fun, I speed run through the Generation 3 Pokedex in Oras with house rules. My record is 5 hours. I started to learn how games were programmed by reading interviews and becoming addicted to Bulbapedia. I filled Pokemon Ranch twice, too, just from you, of course. I moved to Japan for a year to gain experience for TPCI. I'm sending this email from Pokemon Center Mega Tokyo. Actually, I think Scrawn ran it. No, they're gonna. I think they're gonna try to meet up with you.
Oh, nice
this guy.
Hmm.
Because I know Scrawn's like close. Yeah. I would not be standing in this spot if it wasn't for your show. I consider myself the champion of Unova. I stand by Generation 5 being the best games mechanically in the series.
And don't I get agree me wrong. With you.
Of course, competitive battling is outstanding now, but I feel Black and White took risks and threw tradition off course. Yeah, it absolutely did. It ruined my life. It's just like, oh man, you want that? You want that third generation game? No, have two.
Oh man, it ruined Torterra.
Torterra, awful poke. Yeah, let's just forget that I said anything about Torterra ever. let's just forget that. I want to say one more time. Your show made me love my love for Pokemon continue to burn in Kyogre's drizzle. Mark my words, it may take decades before my dreams leave the dream world. However, I will obtain that job at TPCI. It is all because of this show. Thank you very much, Unova Champion Nicholas. Well, you are welcome for that
yes.
taking place in your... You told me I didn't have to read this on air, but I had to because he was boosting.
It is awesome.
Ego.
Yeah, pretty
it's
awesome.
It's really good.
He used Ego Boost and it was super effective. So yeah, no, it's super awesome. I feel honored that I had that kind of role, and like it's that stuff that like makes me keep doing this every week.
Yeah,
like I it's just like I haven't had a week in a while, to be fair. Like I used to have these weeks where it'd be like, man, I'm not looking forward to the show this week, but I can honestly say I haven't had a moment like that where I felt like the podcast was a chore in probably the past 2 years.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I haven't had a moment like that. And I mean, it's because of you guys, like you guys and the rest of the, like the Viridian Guild, everybody that records the podcast with me. It's fun to talk to you guys. I mean, I feel like we've built like a really good rapport, obviously, because we were just like, oh yeah, you want to hang out? Like you want to fly all the way to Ohio and like hang out? Oh yeah, sure. and so, yeah, it's gonna be a good time. but yeah, I mean, I haven't had one of those moments in a while, and things like that where people tell me the podcast was quote unquote life changing. Like that might be a little excessive. But when they tell me like it's had an effect on them, that just makes me keep going. You know, we could have like 20 downloads a week, and if one person a week just told me that, like this podcast is making a difference, I'd keep doing it. You know.
Yeah.
We obviously get more than 20 downloads a week, but but if we only got 20, that's all it would take to make me keep podcasting.
Yeah.
So just remember that when I tell you the download number starts dropping. So this last one from Sometimes I Fly. Who wants that one? We love
him.
Okay, go for it.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, so should I read that warning at the beginning?
Skip it.
Okay. So, hello, Poco Crew. It has been a while since I've done the mailbag, but I am always like a moth to a liquid. It was such, I was such a fan of all the storytelling and background information that was provided for the new Pokemon that I was charmed by all of them. If that is the reason why I like some Pokemon, then the opposite must be the case for my least favorite. Enter Necrozma. Aside from Looker mentioning that he saw it streak across the sky and it and that it was not an Ultra Beast, there was no mention of Necrozma in the game. It was found in an uninteresting way, a random encounter in a low-level grassy area. Not a fiery mountain like Heatran or a magnificent tower like Rayquaza, just chilling with some matchups and Rockruffs, kicking it Alolan style. On the top, well, that makes me kind of like it. On top of that, that was me, that was not the male. On top of that, I am not a fan of the design. I was happy with the simplistic design of a lot of Alolan Pokemon have, but Necrozma has more of a over-designed Ultra Beast feel that makes it hard to appreciate. Hopefully, it will be get some backstory in the future. Well, we all said that about Saigar too. Although we did get it just in this game, I can see it happening since the Prism is obviously connected to light sources such as the Sun and Moon. Since I feel like it was cheating choosing an underdeveloped legendary, my top vote for least favorite common Pokemon is Lycanroc. I was barking with excitement over putting a Rockruff on my team. It was cute and full of personality. Eventually, I had to take him off, though, because his evolved forms felt disappointing in every regard. Looks, character, and competitive viability.
Really? Actually, midday form is actually competitively viable.
Yeah, like, I like him. I like them both, even the midnight like form.
Accelerock is a decent move. I mean, you run Lycanroc as like a Stealthrock setter. Like that's what you run him as, it, right? There's no other way to put it. Lycanroc,
Stealthrock, and Focus Sash.
Stealthrock, yes, Stealthrock, Focus Sash. Put Accelerock on him so you get some priority. But I mean, he's super fast. Like he's pretty fast as well. So you can probably put something else on there. Like what is it? I would put something like, I don't know. It would even be like a good Ultra Beast counter in general, I think. Doesn't hit super hard, but things like Faramosa, you could probably take Faramosa out with an Accelerock. I haven't seen the calc, so don't quote me on that. I mean, you could do some damage. I mean, Accelerock would do that. It outspeeds, what's it called? It outspeeds Kartana. It outspeeds the rest of the Ultra Beasts outside of Faramosa. So you could definitely do some damage there. So I wouldn't throw it under the bus and say it's not competitively viable.
Yeah. Finally, I heard She-Ra on the mailbag last week ask for sets for the Pokemon of the episode, and this is exactly why I make the Pokemon of the Week article on the subreddit. So if you are interested, I post sets either from my experience or from players much superior to myself for each of the Pokemon of the episodes. In addition, I provide all kinds of other non-competitive details, and community members are encouraged to submit their own ideas for Pokemon. Shout out to Cert the Absol. Sorry for the shameless self-promotion. No, well granted, sir. Well granted. You do great job.
He does.
Great work. But like I said, I think this is exactly what he was asking for. To turn it into some Puckle promotion in general, I finished catching up on all the articles put out by the writing staff over the holidays, and they were a lot of fun. Is that a Rumble I see? Look, it's flying to me. Wait, no, don't play rough. Owie, that bug is tough. Sometimes I ride a Tyrus out.
Oh, wonderful. All right, so that is it for the mailbag this week, guys. So thank you to everybody who sent one in. If you would like to send an email next week, you can do so by sending an email to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Our mailbag question for next week is going to be, what place would you like the next Pokemon region to be set in? So send that email, once again, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you want to hang out with us, of course, you can come to PucklePodcast.com. Come to the chat box. I try to be there like most nights of the week, so you can come and chat with me and stuff like that. I'll have it up while I'm working on other things. And so you could definitely come there. I mean, come tomorrow, or Monday is today, at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's when we'll be there for a lot of the the chat box meetup. We'll have a good time. I'll probably do some streaming on Thursday or so. So we'll have a good time there, guys. On top of that, You can do all of our social medias. You can follow us on Twitter at Puckle Podcast, Facebook, facebook.com/PucklePodcast. You can like us there. You can go ahead to Tumblr and tumble with us on Tumblr at PucklePodcast.tumblr.com. Check out our subreddit where you can see Sometimes I Fly's awesome Pokemon analyses of the Pokemon of the episode. That is at reddit.com/r/Puckle. You can, of course, review us on iTunes. That would be a huge help. And that we appreciate that. That helps people find us. It helps the community grow. You can also go ahead and you can check us out on Patreon if you want to support the show. It's a big help. We are, I believe, $6 a month away from forcing Whimsicott and I to record a science podcast. So it would only be released to the Patreons, by the patrons, by the way. You guys can hear us ramble about science. But more importantly, we're like $25, $26 away from releasing a sweet commentary track for the first Pokemon movie that Ethan and I recorded. So check that out by donating some money and stuff like that. Of course, don't do it if it's the difference between you eating or something like that. I don't want you to do that. But we do appreciate your support. So definitely check that out. Finally, you can always go ahead and go to the Etsy store. Etsy.com/shop/PucklePodcast. And you can buy shirts and TCG mats. So please do that. If you're interested, of course. That's a cool way to support the show and get some physical merch out of it as well. So I think that's all I'm saying, right? That's my spiel.
Yep. And don't forget to check out our other shows such as TG Cast, the Movie Club, and of course the new Game Corner.
And Battlecast. Battlecast
will and be Battlecast.
Battlecast doesn't have a set schedule yet, but it will. it's kind of in the wind because I need five. I did it on the fifth Thursday of last month, so I haven't found a place to put it yet. So by February it'll have a set place.
Yep.
Hear that, guys? February.
Keep me to it. Stick it to me. Well, I hope to put an episode out this month, but I don't want to make any promises because I do have to do live as well. So
yeah.
And I have to fly to Santa Fe next week, and it's annoying. I could.
We're
record
Puckle Network.
Yeah, we are. We are kind of a network. We'll have to talk about that in like the next month or so. All right. So thank you all for listening. I appreciate you guys for doing it. So until next time, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Mr. Maximus.
And I'm Lord Jishiro.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.